Hey, everybody. I'm going to do some live videotape to answer some group questions. We're going to go through the questions. Sorry, I've been off for a little bit, trying to get the new house together. And going to be heading out of state for a little bit, but I'm going to try to do live videos from out of state. I don't know if I can. I'm going to a wedding, so I'm going to be a little... But if I'm available, I'm going to do some more live videos. I want to get some stuff in, some content in before I leave for you guys. And then I put a post up and some, I guess, whoever wanted me to answer some group questions. We're on the live. We're on the group. Can you check your group thing? Make sure we're on the group. I believe in the group. I just want to show on the group and not on my personal page. So are we on the group, everybody? I do this sometimes. People are like, what the hell are you talking about? We don't give a shit about police stuff. We in the group? Is it live? Come on. Hurry up.
Yeah, you're not on your page.
Okay, cool. Yeah, see the people who are on here. That's group members. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. All right, cool. I know these people aren't my friends on Facebook, but guys, you are more than welcome to become my friend on Facebook. You can friend request me. We'll be pals for life. Most of the people in my Facebook group now who some people I haven't met. It's really cool to meet guys at training. Even today, I met Tom Miola and a few other people who were in the group at the training class. It was really exciting. Thanks for everybody who came out to the Ridgefield Community Center for the one-day case law class. It was a really good presentation. I'm happy that guys got stuff out of it. Hopefully we'll get some of those members in here to appreciate and enjoy the group. Now, let's go to the questions. Here's the first question. Lewis David writes, 2C11A1, statute please, can't find a case law on it. So it's human cloning. That was obviously a joke. So thanks, Lou. Second one, Mikey Chach. What's up, Mike? How are you, buddy? Can you discuss if consent search based on reasonable suspicion during a car stop will give you search of the persons in the car? No. So if you have a consent search, doesn't mean that the one person, and I have this case law, I'm actually pulled up the PowerPoint before so I can go right to it. I give you the case on it. Let me pull that up right now real quick while we're doing this. Just went over this today in class. Let's fire it up right now. Let's see. All right. I like to bring people in on camera. Ooh, that's cool. People are watching to add them into the group to camera. That's something new. We got to look into that, see what that is. Let me see what this is. Extend the magical words in here. State versus Morristani, 1993. The driver vehicle has the authority to grant consent to the vehicle. However, consent does not extend to the containers in the car that a driver disclaims ownership and other passengers are present. Police officers should specifically inquire and attempt to ascertain ownership of luggage in a vehicle with several occupants rather than rely on a driver's consent to search. When all passengers deny ownership, it becomes abandoned property with no expectation of privacy, allowing officers to search it as long as there are no apparent or known owners of the property. And that's State versus Lee, 1991. I'll add it into the group so you guys can reference this stuff later. You can read the whole thing. And that should answer the question there. Let's see. That should cover that one. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to ask for consent to somebody's person, if you ask the consent of the driver, it doesn't mean you can search everybody coming out of the car. You'll have to ask each person individually, even for their bags. Now, I'm not talking about a PC search. I'm talking about a consent search. You'll have to ask separate bags for consent on each one. One person can't give consent to search of the other person because he gave consent to the car. If you have concerns and people aren't giving consent, my advice to you is call for a dog. Let a dog indicate on the car. And then we talk about tying in State versus Judge, which allows you to search people for the odor of marijuana inside a car. All passengers can be searched like incident to arrest, not a pat frisk for safety. And if you had a dog indication, we've talked about this before, there's no case law on it, but I would say you could argue it's the same thing. If a dog indicated that narcotics were in the car, wouldn't you believe it could be on somebody's person, just like Judge says when you have the odor of marijuana? So if you're having that concern where you think it's on somebody, maybe have the dog indicate on the car before you have people step out, possibly. Or you can ask for consent to somebody and their person. Hey, man, anything illegal on you? Do you mind if I search your person? You always must remember you must advise the right to refuse. Failure to do so can create a fatality to your case. If you find something, you'll have that evidence suppressed. If you didn't advise the right to refuse, it's important in New Jersey for the right to refuse. Again, guys, some of the stuff in New Jersey that we're talking about, people in the group who are from out of state, this is New Jersey stuff at times. I'll let you know when it applies to the out of state people, but good tactics to think about when you're watching these videos as well. And then Luke answered that for him. Thanks, Luke. Jeff meal. Is there any difference between case law, between odor burnt marijuana and raw marijuana? The only difference is sometimes raw will allow you to extend into the trunk of a vehicle. That's the only time case law really comes into play that I can think of. Raw or burnt doesn't matter if you're arresting somebody or you're searching somebody with it on their clothing or the car itself. Again, sometimes the scope can extend to the trunk. If you're smelling raw, it may bring you into the trunk of the car. If you're in doubt on how far you can go in New Jersey with a consent search, I'm sorry, with a PC search, remember this simple formula that I always stick by it, and I'm going to make a t-shirt out of this. I told the guys in class today that I'd make a t-shirt out of it, was when in doubt, ask for consent or call for a canine unit. If you don't think you can go into the trunk, just ask for consent. They deny consent, just call for a canine. It's kind of silly, but a dog will show up and indicate, and I give you the whole car. So that answers that one. Christy, I actually responded to you in the on the business page. You wrote to me on the business page. Guys, if you're going to message me, try to do it on the messenger, not on the business page. But it's all good. I found it. I responded to you, but I'm going to answer it again because I saved it for this group anyway. Christy Jarbanks writes, motorhomes and RVs, do they follow the same rules as regular MVs when it pertains to searching, or are there other different expectations? So remember, the exigency of a motor vehicle that ties to probable cause has to do with its inherent mobility to move. So if you have a motor home that's in a trailer park and it's up on blocks and it's attached and there's pipes running to it, that's not going to fly. But if you have a motor home on the side of the road that's been driving, or somebody has it parked in their driveway, or it's parked on the street, it's in fair play because inherently it's mobile. It's able to be moved. That's how you know the difference is. Maybe you have a car that's stuck in the grass, been there for 5 years, and it's melted into the earth. We know that doesn't move as flat tires. It looks like there's squirrels living in it. That's probably something that's not inherently exigent. You're just going to have to know that it kind of – basically the rule is, can it drive somewhere with a motor vehicle? All right. Timmy T, how about some pedestrian stop stuff, especially when it comes to consensual, how to detain, and when Miranda would apply? Not a lot of guys are good at that stuff. They only think police work is pulling over cars and getting to a dime bag. Tim, I have a ton of stuff on that, but for the brevity purpose of this video – I'm going to write that down. We'll hit that one tomorrow because that's a lot to talk about. We've done videos on it. So I have a lot to talk about on that, but I know this video is going to go 40 minutes long if I try to get into that right now. So I'll put pedestrian stops on my notes here. And Tim T, my buddy, hope you're enjoying Florida, my brother. Jim Egan, advanced tip. Jim's my pal, man, out of Chicago. Advanced tips for spotting the right car to stop on interstate travel. Brother, your best bet is to begin to know how to identify criminal behavior and reactions to police presence. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. It's a real, real big conversation. I'm going to actually write that down for another video. Jim Egan and advanced tips. There's a lot that goes into that, man. It's like, I mean, I do like a 45-minute block in my 2-day class on how to spot criminal vehicles. Hard to do in a video real quick. Some quick tips, reactions to your presence. You will watch cars, see which cars are not having, there's a lot of, there's formulas, there's cars that like are doing nothing by your presence. There's all types of subtle views. There's being able to pick out certain criminal occupant combinations, plates and states they're commonly transporting from. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that, Jimmy. So I'm going to put advanced tips for interdiction. I'm going to get to that hopefully tomorrow too as well. All right. Finding RES for stopping bicyclists and pedestrians walking. That's from Mike KD. Mike, go into Title 39. There's a whole pedestrian section and bike section, and you can see everything you could do in there. It's a motor vehicle stop, and they're compelled. They must provide you identification if they're subject to a summons. If they don't have it, you can go into State versus Pierce and State versus Lark, which says if you can't identify who they are and they're subject to a summons, you can bring them in and arrest them on that. That's where you're going to find a lot of your good stuff. But remember, there's also something called a mere field inquiry where police do not even pose. And I'll read that to you real quick. I'm going to pull this up. Let's see. I'll give you the exact terminology on it. Probably get close. Let's see. Let's see. Let me find it for you guys. Mealy is a big word in anti-hand drug trust. Ren. Looking for it. Okay. The mere inquiry, general rule. A mere inquiry needs no constitutional justification. A law enforcement officer needs no constitutional justification to approach an individual on the street or in another public place and ask if the individual is willing to answer some questions, and to ask the individual for questions if he's willing to listen. See Florida versus Royer and State versus Davis in New Jersey. That's a U.S. Supreme Court. I will tell you this, that if you're going to engage somebody in a public place and you have no reason for stopping them, a great way to get people to compel and to speak with you is hit them with a handshake. Walk up, introduce yourself. I wouldn't say like, hey, I'm Officer so-and-so with this police department. They know you're a cop. Hey, I'm Joe. How are you? Hey, Joe, how you doing? Can I talk to you for a second over here? Let me talk to you. And you start building up your RES. You may build up enough RES to hold on to that person at the scene, and you've developed enough where you've now turned it in from a mere field inquiry to a investigative detention, because maybe some things aren't adding up, and some out of the totality of circumstances, some things are coming to fruition now. So that's hopefully that answers your question there. A lot of questions here today. I'm going to try to get through all of them. Pulled over a car, reaction to the police. Had the driver step out, ask him if anything illegal in the car. Driver says, no, go ahead and search, and insists on me searching it. Although I did not request consent to search, can I go ahead and search it? And did you have RES? And said, don't ask for consent because I don't have enough RES. You know what? To be honest with you, whether or not you probably had more RES on that stop than you actually thought. And I would say even his reaction, I wasn't there. It's hard for me to tell. But maybe even his reaction to, like, go ahead, search it. Maybe it's like a deterrent. And it's kind of uncommon. Remember, RES is uncommon stuff that goes on. I got to put that in because I have to answer that tomorrow as well. That's for Ant. I'll get that one tomorrow. I'm not going to have time today because we have a lot of content coming out. So, like, maybe that is RES that the guy was acting like that on a motor vehicle stop. You probably had him at the car at that point because some things happened that maybe you weren't so conscious to. A lot of people have a hard time telling what their RES is. And again, it starts the point where you have a car that's citing a law enforcement officer and you're citing them back. And that's where it begins to build. So it's all those things that are not normal of a typical transaction or motor vehicle stop between a police officer and maybe a motorist where they're not engaged in criminal activity. So I wouldn't really dwell on RAS too much because it rarely is challenged. If you find something, you know, what's the worst that could happen is it would be a suppression. You would believe that you had RAS enough to ask, but you're not, I don't know if people really get challenged in RAS in here. It happens once in a blue moon. Don't get caught in the details, the bullshit, the minutia of reasonable suspicion. Now, what I'm telling you is build a little something up, but don't overthink it. Like, do I have enough? If you guys are on a motor vehicle stop and it's deviating from what seems to be a typical stop of, like, you're running radar and you pulled somebody over there, cooperative, nothing was, that was your reason for the stop. It wasn't a pretextual. You didn't pick the car first and find the violation. I never worried about reasonable suspicion. Have your game on the side of the road down. We're going to try to do a lot of video content from the 2-day course so you guys can really get to understand what I'm talking about, especially for those guys who have reached out to me from other states that have said, hey, man, can I see your videos? We're working on it. I hired a full-time video person to do videos with me. So that's what I'm going to say to you. If you were going to get consent from somebody, I would even, regardless of what your RAS is, I would stop and do the consent form anyway. Sir, I know you want to give me consent, and that's fine. And you understand you have the right to refuse. You don't have to give me consent. I'm going to fill out this form just so you understand what you're getting yourself into. Just breathe. Give it 10 seconds and take the fucking form out and fill the thing out. Okay? That's what I would do. And then Mike, my friend Mike, says to me, your face. So thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Last one, I have something I printed out from a guy because I couldn't bring it over to the group to read it while I was here doing it. So he goes, hey, Dennis, I got this on a traffic stop. Sent me some pictures of some CDS. Two females and one male occupant. Oh, Grant, love that one. Two females, male and back. Try that one, boys and girls. Two females driving. I'm not talking about Edna and Ethel driving Jacob to church, and they're 95 years old to bring him to the chiropractor or to, like, the neurosurgeon. I'm talking about two girls in the front, guy in the back. You know what I'm, you know what you got to look for. Okay, so it says owner of the car gave consent, and the male was on her backpack in the back seat where he was sitting. He denied consent on the bag, so he called for a dog. Dog indicated on the trunk and back seat. Female was carrying 15 bags of dope for the male, and the dog found the rest in the trunk. Male eventually gave consent on the bag, probably attempted to keep it away from the load. So our question was if the owner of the vehicle denied consent and we get a dog, if the dog hits on the vehicle, do we have the passenger's bags too included in the search of the vehicle? Also, what case law covers canine hits giving PC to search? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Leave the bags in the car. Even if somebody took a bag out and that dog came and indicated on it, I'm going to tell you, I believe that bag's in fair play because it was inside the car. And my advice to you is this: leave the bags in the car. Don't let people take these bags out, especially if they're holding on to them. You want to check them for weapons. You don't want to do a bag manipulation. Hey, you want to take the bag out of the car? Cool. Let me check it before you take it out. If not, leave it in the car. Let the dog come and indicate on the car. And then under Wyoming versus Houghton, which is federal Supreme Court guidelines and adopted in New Jersey, that covers everything. That dog hits, it's PC, it's indication. What is the case law? I'm going to write this down. That verifies a dog hit to be PC. My pleasure, my friend. This is one of my favorite ones. Let me go to it right now. I have quite a few. U.S. versus Nurse. I will add this in here. 1990. Okay. See the next one? Just click over here. Illinois versus Caballes, 2005, U.S. Supreme Court. United States versus Pierce, 2010, not New Jersey versus Pierce. Florida v. Harris, 2013. I will add all this stuff in, okay? State of New Jersey v. Cancel, 1992. A positive result would have resulted in the justifiable arrest of probable cause. So that's five cases I've given you there. I will add that into this video so you can refer, you can reference it when somebody tries to challenge your PC and a dog establishing that. We had an AP one time tell a guy that a dog indication establishes RAS. Folks, I'm going to say this and I'll say it 1,000 times over. Be very careful of where you get your information from. There was an AP who recently gave a class in New Jersey who I tried to contact and he would not talk to me on the phone because he was already being challenged in class. If you went to that recent class, he was being challenged and he denied he wouldn't address the things that were being challenged that were taught in my class. I called him, you have to see the text volley. He would not talk to me because he was scared that the truth was going to come and bite him in the ass. And he's an AP and he should know better. So be careful when you hear this stuff from these APs or these district attorneys, whatever it may be. Make sure you say, hey, I know you're telling us that. Where can I read that from? The beauty thing about me is I'll give you the fucking, the facts, the case law. All right. I think that's the last one. I'll put all that stuff up. Guys, I know a lot of people are writing into me. We'll save it for tomorrow, this video. You know, I don't want it to go too long. You'll be here forever watching this. I'm curious how many people's wives get mad when they hear my voice going all night. I hear from the people, I meet people's and their significant others like, oh, well, I recognize your voice. I hear this every night at 1 o'clock in the morning while I'm in bed. If you guys need anything from me, reach out to me anytime. I'm here to provide you value. Thank you for being a member of the Street Cop Training Group. That's all we plan on doing in here is coming on and giving you guys as much value as possible. The stuff that I didn't get to today, we will be doing it tomorrow, short of any catastrophic event in my life. Have a good night.